Canto 10, Chapter 29, Krishna and the Gopis Meet, text number 17 and 18. 17, you can chant along with me if you like.
Tadrishvanti kam ayata bhagavan vrajayoshita avadadvaratam shrishto
Seeing that the girls of Braja had arrived, Lord Krishna, the best of speakers, greeted them with charming words that bewildered their minds. Purport. Having established the spiritual nature of the gopis' love for Krishna, Shukadev Goswami proceeds with his narration. Text 18, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, said, Su Agatam, welcome. Actually, I was looking at this Sanskrit. Sometimes the way the order of the words is really hard to follow, but this is quite straightforward. Bo, to you, Mahabhaga, O most fortunate, ladies, Priyam, pleasing, Kim, what? Karavani, may I do, va, for you. Rajasya, of Raja, Anamayam, the well-being, Kachit, weather. Bruta, please tell, Agamana, for your coming, Karanam, the reason.
Hri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Swagatam
bo mahabhaga Priyam kim guravani va Rajasya namayam kachit Bhruta gamana karanam Sri Bhagavan uvacha Swagatam bo mahabhaga Priyam kim karavani va Vajasya namayam kachit Bruta gamana karanam Sri Bhagavan uvacha Swagatam bo mahabhaga Priyam kim karavani va Vajasya namayam kachit Bruta gamana karanam
Thank you.
Ladies.
Shri Bhagavan Vacha. Swagatam Bho Mahabhaga. Priyam Kim Puravanam. Prajasyanamayam Kaschid.
Translation. Lord Krishna said, O most fortunate ladies, welcome. What may I do to please you? Is everything well in Vraja? Please tell me the reason for your coming here. Purport. Lord Krishna knew perfectly well why the gopis had come. In fact, he had called them with the romantic melodies of his flute. So Krishna was simply teasing the gopis by asking them, Why have you come here so quickly? Is something wrong in town? Why have you come here anyway? What do you want? The gopis were Krishna's young lovers, and therefore these questions certainly bewildered them, for they had responded to Krishna's call with the simple mentality of enjoying conjugal love with him. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. This is a very sweet scene taking place here. Krishna's pastimes. Many places in the Bhagavatam is described that Krishna is like an actor on the stage. Matacharyam. And everything he does is bewildering. In the first canto, in the list of the avatars, first canto, chapter 3, it says anyone who hears or recites these pastimes of the mysterious pastimes of the Lord becomes free from all suffering. So that word is used there, mysterious, and several times in the purport, probably. Refers to this, mysterious. So Krishna's pastimes are mysterious because he's God. They appear a certain way to us, but there's so much more to them than what we think we're seeing. And they're very bewildering. Like Bhishma Dev said, he was lamenting or recalling what had happened to the Pandavas, that even though they're protected by Krishna, still so many things happen to them. So he said, no one can know the plan of the Lord, even though great sages inquire exhaustively, still they're bewildered. So it's not possible to understand Krishna completely. When he comes onto this plane and enacts his pastimes, very difficult for us to understand. But we try to understand, we can appreciate according to our purity, our level of realization. Like Sutta Goswami, who was asked by Shonaka Rishi to go on speaking about Krishna. So this is about speaking about Krishna, the particular context of what he said. But he said, yes, he said, it's just like birds fly into the sky. The sky is unlimited. Some birds can go a little way, some birds can go a lot higher. So everyone who speaks on the glories of Krishna, we speak according to our realization and understanding up to a certain level, but it's infinite. It's like the sky goes on infinitely, essentially. So similarly with our understanding, these pastimes, they appear to be three-dimensional, you might say. They seem to have a limit. Well, this is what Krishna did. He came here, he spoke to the gopis, and we can understand it. It has some coherence and makes sense. It's a scene, it's an anecdote, it's a little package. But actually, it's not bound in those dimensions. It's unlimited. It has unlimited depth, unlimited dimensions. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that Lord Chaitanya performed innumerable pastimes at every moment. So try to figure out what that means. So, because he's God, so he does so many things simultaneously. So here he's acting in a very charming way. It says the gopis have come and he's speaking in Vacha in the first verse we read today. He spoke Vadatam Shrestha, the best of speakers. In the 64 qualities of Krishna given in the Nectar of Devotion, there are a few that have to do with his speech. He has pleasing speech and he's fluent in his speech. And he could, of course, we know he can speak to the animals. There's a quote there in the Nectar of Ocean. Some old lady was coming to Vrindavan. She said, "It's so amazing. Krishna can not only speak the Braj Bhasha language, but he can also speak Sanskrit, the highly elevated language of Sanskrit that the rishis speak. And he even speaks with the animals. And the Prakrita languages. Prakrita means ordinary, colloquial language. Just like we hear in the Krishna book, or the Srimad Bhagavatam, how the aboriginal girls, so they probably have their own language. So all of these different languages, Krishna speaks them. So he's fluent and he speaks. And of course he speaks perfectly according to time and circumstance. And he doesn't have to search for words. Whenever I listen to Srila Prabhupada's classes, I always think, Prabhupada doesn't have to think about what he's going to say. Just comes out. Doesn't have to plan and script what he's going to say. It just comes out. So of course, as we develop in Krishna consciousness, we develop some of these qualities of Krishna also. In fact, it's said that the jiva can have 78% of what Krishna has. And Lord Brahma has them in full. He has the full 78%. And we, as we approach his level of purity, then we can approach that. That's the most you can get as a jiva in this material world. So we can develop these nice characteristics that are displayed by Krishna. So here he's speaking his vachaha, vadatam shrestha vachaha, peshayar vimohayan. Peshara means with decorations. We can just imagine when somebody speaks wonderfully, it's very beautiful. Some people, they can go and they have sometimes in, like entertainers, of course, we go and listen to them sing. So there are people, I don't know how much, it still goes on today, I think, there are people who do monologues. Of course, they tend to be comedians who do raunchy, kind of despicable things they talk about. But there are also people who just speak on some subject. They just go up there and talk and they get a big audience. It's because people love to hear them speak, the sound of their voice and the way they put the words together and their fluency and so on. So just imagine Krishna, how wonderful. Every single word that comes out, it's like nectar. Of course it is nectar. It's amrita. Vachasamrita, the nectar of his words. Everyone just wants to drink it into their ears. So here, and they're decorated, peshaya. But at the same time, these particular words Krishna is speaking here, vimohayan, they're bewildering. That's what's especially sweet about this pastime. Obviously, Krishna has called them there. And then he's teasing them. This is also an art. Krishna's expert in so many things, so he's expert at teasing also. Sometimes we try to tease someone and it doesn't work. They get upset or they don't get the joke. It backfires on us. So now Krishna's getting what he wants here. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says he wants the gopis to be the aggressors because usually the man is the aggressor, the pursuer. So Krishna's acting sort of detached. And he wants them to come out and take control, you might say, in this relationship. At this point, at least. Of course, he's always mixing things up. That's part of the nectar. Variety is the mother of enjoyment. So that's one reason why he's teasing them here. He wants to get them mad, basically, excited. So he's teasing with his beautiful words. And he's saying, why have you come here? So they've come, of course, because Krishna has drawn them there. But what is the gopis' main motive in everything they do? They just want to serve Krishna. On the surface, it seems like they want to enjoy Krishna because he's so beautiful and they're so attracted to him and they can't resist him. But really, it's all about serving him. That's what, when they get into his association, they want to serve him. In fact, just as they can't, because he's so attractive, the flute has drawn them there, there was nothing that was going to hide them, they're going to hold them back. Just absolutely nothing was going to hold them back from that power, that pull of Krishna, the flute. I like the way it was described in the purport. The romantic melodies of his flute. Jaigauri was explaining how Krishna's flute, it's not just an ordinary flute, it can actually speak words. And all the different subtleties. We know music is such a wonderful medium that you can create such emotion with music. You can create fear. There's suspenseful music, which is used, of course, in movies and plays and so on. But you can also, there's heartbreaking music. Violin can practically, some of the notes on a violin can practically make you cry. So if that's in this material world, in our music, imagine what Krishna, when he's playing his flute, what he can do with his flute. Actually, he can do anything with his flute. Anything that he can do with his flute. And that's Krishna's power, and the power of his flute, and the power of his devotees. So he's drawn them there with that, the power of his flute, and nothing could stop them. But so that power, the draw of Krishna's beauty, of course Krishna's beauty is attractive, all of his qualities, but his service is actually what's ultimately attractive, because that's our constitution. And even everything besides Krishna, Ekale Ishwara Krishna, Krishna is the Ishwara, so even Krishna's shaktis, they're all meant for serving him. So ultimately, that's the power to serve Krishna is so unlimited. Service is what's attractive. That's why we hear in the Bhagavatam over and over and over again about service, devotional service to Krishna. That's what the devotees want. That's their desire. And it comes out so often in the devotees when they get Krishna's association. That's what they ask for. So Krishna, this is a wonderful scene. It's a very in the highest level of Krishna's relationship with his devotees. And he's saying, what do you want? So I was thinking how actually Krishna calls all of us. He's always calling all of us. In his deity form, he's calling us to come. And in his holy name, he's calling us. We're calling upon him, but he's calling us also. And he's present in his name. I hear Prabhupada say this so much. And I think about how it means so much more to Prabhupada than it means to me. When Prabhupada would say, you can be with Krishna at any moment, any time. You just have to chant his name because Krishna is present in his name. So obviously Prabhupada had full realization of that, and I have to keep reminding myself, oh, that's right, Krishna's present in his name. I have to remember that. Krishna's with me right now. I'm calling him. In one place, Prabhupada gives a translation of the, or you might say a purport to the Maha Mantra. It says, when we chant Hare Krishna, so we're saying, oh, Krishna, oh, Radha, oh, energy of the Lord. So Krishna says, yes, what do you want? So the devotee says, please engage me in your service. So Krishna is calling us. We're coming before Krishna. So he's saying, so what do you want? We have to think, well, what do I want, actually? Why am I coming here, standing before... Why have I come here? That's another... I was appreciating Lilananda Prabhu in his class, and he was saying how he had changed so quickly. Because I think the same way. So I try to give some... When I first came to Krishna consciousness, I give some logical explanation. Well, I was attracted by the philosophy or this or that. But there's something really mystical that took place where it's... I can't really explain what happened, actually. My change was so abrupt, just gave up everything. So many devotees, that happened to them. Something kind of mysterious took place where we just changed very quickly. So in one sense, we weren't quite sure why we came. So we may be, of course, we're out, this may be something that we ask ourselves. We should be always introspective. So why am I here? Why am I still here? What do I want from Krishna? What do I want from Krishna consciousness? We know that Krishna can fulfill all of our desires. And we can, even in the society of devotees, there are so many subordinate desires that we can get fulfilled. And maybe that's what keeps us in Krishna consciousness, in the society of devotees. Now that has its benefit, of course, as long as you're surrounded by devotees. That's good, but do we stay here just because we like the food or we like the music? It's easy to dance to. It has a good beat, like I used to say on American Bandstand. Dick, the old timers will know about American Bandstand. People used to rate the songs. They would ask the kids, "So, what do you like? How do you like this new song?" And they would say, "Oh, I like the lyrics, and you can dance to it." So. Our music is like that too. That's good lyrics and you can dance to it. But it's a kind of external appreciation. Yes, I like Krishna consciousness because I can, you know, get into the music. I can get into the music and dance and let loose and whatever. But is that all? Krishna is saying, well, what do you want? Is that all you want? You want some good music to dance to? Have fun with your friends? Want to come here and have fun with your friends? So we have to see in our hearts, what do we want? And of course, we're told what we're supposed to want. And the Bhagavatam says, anything you want, you can come to Krishna, and Krishna will fulfill it. Fulfill all of your desires. But not everything is necessarily good for you. And Krishna gives some things, you might say, reluctantly. And as we advance in Krishna consciousness, he doesn't necessarily give everything. He gives himself, which is everything that fulfills our desires. But we have to know what we want. We learn from the Bhagavatam, we learn from the great devotees what they wanted. We have so many nice stories in the Bhagavatam of Krishna appearing, especially Lord Vishnu makes his appearance to different people. I was reading recently Prithu Maharaj's story. So those several chapters, that whole Leela of Prithu Maharaj. What's interesting, actually, this is kind of bewildering to me. Of course, the Bhagavatam is Krishna, so it's also mysterious. Because right from the beginning, it says it kicks out all subordinate religions. But at the end of so many of these stories, there are all these material benedictions that are given. I think, why is this in the Bhagavatam? If you're a king, then you can be the ruler of all other kings. Or if you have, there's one, I think it's in the Prithu Maharaj story. I forget how it goes exactly, but it mentions how if you're a Brahmana, you get this benediction. And if you're a Kshatriya, then you become the ruler of so many kings. And if you're a Vaishya, then you get so much wealth or something. And if you're a Shudra, you get pure devotional service to Krishna. Well, that sounds pretty good. That works for me. We're all Shudras in Kali Yuga, so. And what's also interesting is that at the end of most of these pastimes, it says, anyone who recites this in the morning and evening, I think, boy, I have to recite Prithus, and I have to recite all the avatars, and I have to recite Jiva Maharaj, and boy, that's going to take a lot of time. Morning and night, it's going to take me 24 hours a day to do it. So in any case, these when the devotees are offered benedictions in these different leelas, what do? Of course, even if they're like Jiva Maharaj and they start off with a lot of desires, when they get Krishna's darshan, then tvatsakshat karanalada vishudabdi stitasyame. Dhruva or Prahlad, I forget, this verse is quoted. Now that I've got your darshan, I think it's Dhruva, because I'm just drowning in an ocean of happiness. So Dhruva, of course, he said, Swamin katarto smi vanam niyache, now that I've seen you, kachan vichindvan api divya ratnam. I was looking for costume jewelry and I found valuable gems. So I don't want anything. So what does Krishna do? Sometimes Lord Vishnu here said, no, I'll give you what you wanted anyway. In fact, I'll give it to you so many times over. You can enjoy all this material world and then you'll go back to Godhead. How's that sound? I don't want anything else. That's all right, take it. The same thing with Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad said, I'm not in this for business exchange. I'm not a merchant. You don't have to give me anything. And you don't have to give me any benedictions. But he also told him, you'll enjoy for so many thousands of years. You'll be the king. So, but Prahlad said, well, you can give me one benediction. You can release my father who's on his way to hell. He offended you. This is actually quite a bold. I was just reading this. I was thinking, it's quite bold of Prahlad because he's saying he offended you, and I'm still asking you to deliver him. And of course, Lord Nrsimhadev says, yes, don't worry about it. Where's this music coming from? Somebody's phone is up here? Keshava's. His phone's ringing. So, the devotees, the Lord always offers them benedictions. In fact, I wrote down some different. Actually, I mentioned the one of the Prahlad Maharaj. But there are other prayers. There's some prayers I like to recite when at greeting the deities and other times. This one was run actually in an old BTG. In fact, I think Srila Prabhupada, this Mukunda Mala Stotra of King Kulashekar, the BBT published it. Because Prabhupada had written purports in some of the verses and then they completed it. So this one, the verse and purport, and the prayer, were printed in BTG many years ago. Mukunda Murna Pranipatyayache Bhavantam Ekantam Yantamartam Avishmitish Tachcharanaravinde Bhave Bhave Me Stu Bhavak Prasada. So this is one of those exemplary prayers given to us by the exalted devotees, King Kulashekar. So here the King Kulashekar is asking that I want this ekanta, this one blessing that I want, and that is avismita chacharanadavinde. Let me never forget your lotus feet, birth after birth. That's the only thing I want, that I won't forget you. This is quite a common request of the devotees, actually. Just don't let me forget you. I don't care if I go to hell or wherever I go, just don't let me forget you. Because that's all I need. In fact, Prahlad, he said, because I'm always thinking of you, then I'm just always in ecstasy. Machitta, magna chitta. My mind is always absorbed in your katha, your pastimes, or the glorification of your pastimes, recitation of your pastimes. Therefore, I'm always happy, but I'm just worried about others. So there's in Prahlad Maharaj's, in the fifth canto, You know, they have there's the chapter, the residents of Jambudvipa offer prayers in the fifth canto. Very nice chapter. So different persons like Hanuman and his, where he is, and Kimpurusha, Varsha, and so many personalities, great exalted devotees, and their associates on the different places where they live in Jambudvipa. So Prahlad is also there in Hari Varsha, and he's the leader of the devotees there. So there he prays, let everybody be happy and free from anxiety. Basically by engaging in your service, by becoming Krishna conscious. So Prabhupada and the Acharyas point out there that this is Prahlad's prayer. He doesn't pray for himself. So that's the benediction that he asks for. When Krishna says, what do you want? He doesn't even think about himself. He just thinks, well, I want this for that, for that, those people who are suffering. Because as he said earlier, he said, I'm not suffering at all. I'm always in Krishna consciousness, so I'm in ecstasy. But I see all these mudhas are suffering, so help them. That's what I want. When I hear something like this, I think it's so different from... Because if Krishna asks me, what do you want? I'll think, yeah, something I want. Something I want for myself. I don't have any spontaneous thought about others, compassion for others. It doesn't come up spontaneously within my heart. The things that I want in life help other people. Atbo pamyena sarvatra. This is the advanced devotee. He thinks of everything in relation to others. He sees the other's suffering just like his own, actually. So this is one of the prayers. If Krishna asks, what do you want? Then the very advanced devotees say, help others, like Vasudeva Dutt. He wanted to take all the suffering of everyone in the whole material world upon himself. So these are very exalted. Another prayer devotees request. We learn, so what part of the context of this is that we know, because sometimes we wonder, well, what should I pray for? What am I allowed to pray for? I was thinking about health, for example. Is it all right to pray for health? I was thinking, though, probably it's dependent on what your real motive is. Because our motives tend to be mixed. So I may be thinking, yes, and I may be saying to Krishna, please give me health so I can serve you. But somewhere in the back of my mind, it's, please give me health so I'll stop suffering. That may be really my main motive. And I'm saying so I can serve you. Of course, that's good, even to say these kinds of things, because that helps transform our consciousness. So we're learning here. So there's another nice prayer by Kulashekar. Masjanmana palamidam madukaitabari madpratanya maranugra esha eva tvad britya britya paricharaka britya britya brityasya britya imam smaralokanata. This has all those brityas in it. Britya means servant. So he's praying that let this be the fruit of my life. Masjanmana palam. Let this be the fruit of my life. That I, birth after birth, I be allowed to be the servant. Actually, he says it 7 times. Britya, britya, paricharika. Paricharika means britya also. Britya, britya, paricharika, britya, britya, brityasya, britya. Servant of the servant of the servant. And in the translation, they're all listed. The servant of 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 the servant. I don't know how many times I said it, but 7 times. So 7 times. So in other words, I'm just insignificant. I just want to serve the servants of the servant so many times removed from Krishna. So this is also legitimate prayer, as shown by this great Acharya. Let me be the servant. Another example in the Bhagavatam. Which pastime was it that I was reading? Anyway, this is what the devotee, he just prays, I don't want anything, I just want your devotional service. The Prachetas, I think it was. Because Lord Vishnu also appeared to them after they chanted the song given to them by Lord Shiva, the prayer. So he said, what do you want? I'll give you anything. We just want your devotional service. So basically, this is what we... Of course, that's why the Maha Mantra is our primary prayer. And that's what we're actually supposed to be praying for when we chant. That, and of course, we know that if you chant with offense, then the other desires that may be there, they can also sprout up and choke the creeper of devotion. Because Krishna will say, oh, that's what you want. You don't actually want my service. You want these other things that you're thinking about all the time when you're chanting, when you're calling out to me. When I'm saying, what do you want? You're saying, oh, actually, I want money or whatever, comfort or whatever we want. So we have to be careful. That's why it's so dangerous. We've been hearing in the morning in our reading after Mangalarti, you have to avoid the offenses. They're very dangerous. They're very dangerous. We have to chant. And it says if you keep chanting, even if you chant offensively, eventually you'll get free of offenses. As one morning walk when Prabhupada said, yes, it'll take you 300 lifetimes. So eventually you'll get free of offenses, but if you want to wait 300 lifetimes, Prabhupada liked the number 3. He used to use it a lot. So it will take you a long time. So we have to consciously avoid these things and tell, show Krishna, no, actually, I just want your service. So the Bhagavatam is training us by repeating it over and over. This is what is valuable. Service to Krishna. There's nothing more valuable than service to Krishna. And that's the attraction we have to awaken within our hearts. Okay, so I'll stop here. Let me just read through the translations. I keep second guessing in my mind. I keep thinking, gee, sometimes I really wish we were back in the first canto again. But we're enjoying the nectar of the 10th canto, even though it's on a level far beyond us. Well, we can appreciate it according to our level and according to Srila Prabhupada's guidance. So this verse, seeing that the girls of Braja had arrived, Lord Krishna, the best of speakers, greeted them with charming words that bewildered their minds. Lord Krishna said, O most fortunate ladies, welcome. What may I do to please you? Is everything well in Braja? Please tell me the reason for your coming here. So any questions or comments? Mother Ruchira.
So how do we get rid of those desires that we have that are not just Krishna's service? Because it seems like the longer you go, all of a sudden you'll think, okay, finally making some progress, and then something will pop up.
Actually, one thing I was thinking recently is that awareness is a sign of progress. Because I think we can be, we don't even know sometimes how out of touch we are with reality. And we can have so many anarthas and not even realize that we have them. And we can just go along in Krishna consciousness thinking, you know, everything is cool, no problem. Whereas we're really not getting anywhere. So just to have this desire to get rid of these impure desires, that's good. That's a step forward. Now how it's done, of course, is just everything Prabhupada gave us, and we just try to do it better. That's I was speaking of this the other day. Akuti asked, what's the one thing we can do to improve? Actually, after class, I was thinking, maybe she wanted me to say something about preaching. Maybe she didn't, but sometimes devotees plant questions, you know. Because Prabhupada said, if you want to be quickly recognized by Krishna, then you will go out and preach. You face these jagais and madhais, you try to bring them to Krishna, then that can help us make quick advancement in Krishna consciousness, because it's difficult to undertake these austerities. So anyway, the basic answer is, as Prabhupada would say, I've given you everything, so you just do those things. But we do them, my answer to you, I don't think you were here, Akuti's question was, we have to be very conscious of what we're doing. Really do things with concentration and, of course, with heart also. Not just mechanically. if we want to get the real effects. Yes. Yeah.
It's almost like, because I've noticed every now and again that happens, that suddenly I realize I haven't been conscious at all
right.
for so long, and then
yeah.
suddenly
it's Krishna's blessing if we're
yeah.
we're reminded. Yeah. But of course, we can also do things. I was saying how sometimes I do these little things that insert them into my life to remind myself. Just like we put post-it notes, especially as you get older, forget everything. So we can do mechanical things, you might say, in our life. Or as Prabhupada said, we should structure our lives in such a way that we can't forget Krishna. So we try to do things. If we know we're forgetting, then we can do little things to remind ourselves. You can even put a note. Don't forget Krishna as you're walking out the door, and post it on your door. Or you sit down in your car or whatever. Yeah, we can help ourselves, but it's true. Krishna helps. It comes from Krishna if that desire is there. Amaramati Prabhu.
I was thinking about that verse, Akama Sarva Kamala.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly it has Akama and Sarva Kama, and then you have the word Udaradhi, and then you have Bhakti Yogena. So it seems like bhakti includes sarvakama, and it seems like then I wanted to your explanation on that. And then the word is used udaradhi for somebody who could be have akama and sarvakama and moksha kama. And then I'm thinking the word sometimes the emphasis is on akama, where we're thinking we should not have desires, but seems to me that the word more important is tivrena there, you know. So I wanted to hear your comments on that.
This is one of those verses where I think it's good to know the context of the verse. And the verse comes after a whole list of, if you want this, pray to this demigod. If you want this, pray to that demigod. If you want, you know, there's a whole list like that. Then it says, actually, whatever desire, just worship Krishna. So that's really the purport of that verse. The main point is, don't worship these demigods. Just worship Krishna. Whether you want this or that, it doesn't matter. Everybody should just worship Krishna. That's the basic idea. So, and then of course, this udaradi. Of course, what udaradi there means, yeah, if you're more intelligent, you might say, if you're not so intelligent, as Krishna says in the Gita, you'll worship a demigod for this. But if you're more intelligent, you'll worship Krishna. Udaradi, broad-minded, you're more intelligent. And of course, and if you want to get results from anything, then tivrena bhakti yogena. You have to do it with full attention and force and intensity, focus. Then you'll certainly get everything fulfilled. This idea of Asha, Sarva, Asha, being fulfilled. Our desires, or Kama, whatever you want to call it, desires. All our desires will be fulfilled. And this often comes up. So what does it mean? You know, it doesn't mean that, you know, just at this stage of my consciousness I have some desire for some material thing, that Krishna is going to fulfill that particular thing. Now he might. He does sometimes do that, as he did with Dhruva Maharaj. But really it means when you get Krishna, then all of your, you know, those subsidiary desires are all taken care of. You don't even think of them anymore. Because all of those desires are actually the desire for Krishna, when you get right down to it. That's what they are. We're thinking they're for something else, but they're actually for Krishna. So Sarvakama is actually desire for Krishna. Ultimately, just in disguise. So we want all of our desires fulfilled. Really, we only want to have one desire. That's also tivrena, focus. That all those desires are the desire to serve Krishna. just in disguise, we're being fooled and tricked. So, of course, that's called Shraddha. Shraddha Shabdeya Vishvas Kohi Sudridan Nishchoy Krishna Bhakti Kaili Sarvakarma Kritahoya. Shraddha means to have the firm conviction that by serving Krishna, by Krishna Bhakti, everything will come. So that's Udara D. Yes?
Hi. Thank you for the lecture. What I was going to say was that I found it really interesting that if I take my desires out of the picture and just kind of trust like that it's not about what I want, it's about what I give or what I bring to the table for a circumstance or whatever, that ultimately not only do I get to give to other people, but then eventually like those desires either they subside because they weren't that big of a deal in comparison to whatever it is else that I'm doing, or that desire gets satisfied and then some. Like, if it was meant to be, it will be, and it'll be even more than what I would have imagined. Because no matter what, like you were saying, Krishna is the one that put that desire in your heart anyway. So it's like sometimes we want to, like, say that we're being selfish and denouncing something. But what we need to say is, okay, I have this desire. Krishna put it there. How can I make this desire work for Krishna and take myself out of the picture?
Let me just interrupt here. Krishna didn't put the desire there.
No.
We create the desire.
Well,
just like Krishna is a creator, we can also create because we're part of Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
So we can create our own desires. They come from within us, not from Krishna. Now, Krishna, of course, in one sense, everything comes from him because
right,
he's the cause of all causes. But if you have some desire for some, you know, to eat at McDonald's, Krishna didn't put that there. That's coming from our past. From our past activities, we've created that those desires. Anything else? Yes, Dharmaraj, please.
In the seventh canto, part of Srila Prahlad Maharaj's prayers, there's one that it's kind of broad and vague, more broad than I can understand. Just the last verse is the last part is Abhayam Abhayam Atmani Bhuishta Om Shram. O Lord Narsingadev, please appear within our hearts so that by your mercy we can become fearless for the struggle for existence in this material world. So, but in the purport, there's really no explanation. What kind of struggle is that? Is it a material struggle, spiritual struggle, or I don't know if you have any idea, can explain? I don't know what struggle we're talking about or what existence in the material world.
Yeah, we have to. Actually, even in the Shukadev, our Pariksit Maharaj, either he says it, I think he says it, at the time of death, one has to be bold enough not to be afraid of death. So what are we asking for when we're asking to be these kind of things, abhayam, abhayam, to be free of fear? It really means we're asking to be Krishna conscious, which is a bona fide desire, because we're not going to be free of fear unless we understand Krishna. Abhaya Charan, Krishna's lotus feet bring fearlessness. So you can say it's an indirect way of saying, let me get out of the contamination of material consciousness when we're actually asking for fearlessness. That's not, yeah. Let me become fearless by being at your lotus feet. Then the fearlessness will come automatically. So the desire is actually for realizing my constitutional position as the eternal servant of Krishna. That we can pray for. That's a legitimate desire. Let me realize my swarup. Let me realize that I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. Then there'll be no abhaya. And then there will be abhaya, there will be no bhaya, no more fearfulness. Mataji, you had something?
Prabhu have mentioned that we have to be very careful of offenses, okay, following our desires. So otherwise we have to take 300 of lifetime. Then I would like to know that it is 8,400,000 species of life, including that 300 lifetime we have to take.
I'm sorry, I can't understand her.
8,400,000.
I know you said something about 300 lifetimes. That's the only thing I heard.
Yeah, you mentioned 300 lifetimes.
Yeah.
8,400,000 species.
Oh. Well, for one thing, we don't have to take Prabhupada literally when he said that. Basically, his point was it will take you a very long time. And he's talking about human births of chanting. If you're chanting, even as a human being, for many lifetimes, if you're not trying to get rid of the offenses, we had this in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we chanted on Saturday. Bahu janma kori yadi shravana kirtana. You can hear and chant about Krishna for many lifetimes and still not get the fruit of your chanting. So this is quite a scary thought, actually. Because we're all hoping, I want to go back to Godhead in this lifetime. But we can, and Prabhupada told us we can, but in so many initiation letters, Prabhupada said, so they must chant 16 rounds, carefully avoiding the 10 offenses. So that means one of those offenses is to maintain material desires. So all the extraneous things that have nothing to do with Krishna consciousness, we have to reject those, want to get rid of those. But if we hold on to them, then we're just anchoring ourselves, binding ourselves here. So we can chant and chant and chant, but we don't make a conscious effort and desire and pray to Krishna. Krishna, no, I really want you. I know all these crazy thoughts come into my mind, bubbling up from past lifetimes, but I don't really want these things. I want to be your servant. I want your service. Please engage me in your service. So that has to be our thought. And we have to make our life like that too. We can't do all nonsense. Some man wrote to us not too long ago. He had just a little association with the movement. He had been to a festival, and he said he wanted to know, how can I improve my chanting? And I said, well, you have to improve your life, basically, is what I told him. I didn't use those words so bluntly, but essentially, you have to live a more Krishna conscious life. If you want to chant better, you have to make the life that you live. Otherwise, of course, chanting is always good for anyone, but the more you have a regulated life that supports the goal of pure chanting, then the better it'll be, the quicker you'll go. That's why we have to get rid of these offenses if we want to progress. Dharmaraj Prabhu?
It's more of an argumentative question. In the beginning of the class, you mentioned how the Lord has 100% qualities and the jiva can get up to 78%. But if Lord Krishna is unlimited, then his 100% is unlimited. So how can we calculate that 78%? Would that be unlimited too?
What was I? Anyway, 78% of... All right. Whatever, you figure it out. I have no answer for that. You stumped me on this one. Of course, the jiva is limited. That's the only answer I have. The jiva is... Now, these numbers, too, even the idea that... Like, I have no idea why it always says Krishna's six qualities, right? Beauty, wealth, strength, knowledge, fame, renunciation. And I don't know why these six are listed all the time. Why these six? Krishna has 64 qualities. Actually, he has unlimited qualities. So why these six? Sometimes I take it upon myself as an editor and I say six primary qualities. Throw that word in there. That's all I can think. Sometimes I think about it, I think, well, maybe if you think of any other quality, maybe you can fit it under these. These are like the big headings. And then all the other ones, you can put them under there. That's the only way I can make sense of it. But I've never seen anywhere where it's discussed why these particular six are there. So there's six And there's 64, so you may think, well, why six? Well, like I do, and I, why 64? Why stop at 64? Krishna only has 64 qualities? Obviously, he's got more than 64. He has unlimited. That's another thing that I have trouble with. Well, how can it be unlimited? It seems like you have to run out of them after a while. Or unlimited multifarious energies. Well, I can think, let's see, material, spiritual, you can break those down. Electrical, mechanical, how do you get unlimited? It seems like you're going to run out. The list is going to... But somehow it's unlimited. So these things are achintya to my small brain. I'm intelligent enough just to get myself in trouble. That's the I could think far enough to where I could say, oh, I'm stuck now. Pushkar Prabhu is going to... Oh, 78 is 50. Oh, 78% is 50. It
specifically says we don't have a little.
Oh. So it's 78%. 50 is 78% of 64. Okay, I hadn't read that in a while. So that's the explanation. We can have 50 qualities, and Krishna has 64. We can have 50 in some small degree, but we can have. So 78, but we can't even the Brahma, so Brahma has all 50 because it says that he has the full 78%. Or he has the most that any jiva can have. There's another place where Prabhupada says that the demigods have the maximum amount of good qualities that one can have in the material world. So without transcending, they have a full amount of, or especially Brahma, of whatever good thing you can think of, good qualities. Even beauty, isn't that one of the qualities? Must be. So that means Lord Brahma must be very beautiful. Yeah, so if we have the vision, we can see in the Guru all these qualities manifest also. All right, let's stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.